Well, hi there. Once again, it's time for the Hector Q. Peabody Show.
And once again, Hector is not with us.
I don't know what's wrong with that guy. I mean, the show bears his name, and he hasn't been here for one of the shows
Speaking
yet.
Speaking of names, why don't we give ours?
Oh, well, all right. I'm Chuck Shaden.
Mine's Dan McGuire.
And for the next half hour or so, we're going to try to fill in for Hector Q. Peabody in his absence. And
Say, Chuck, I've got an idea. I have his phone number. It might be good if I call him. Maybe he'd be at home.
Yeah, try, will you? Because right. I'm really interested in this bit. I don't know.
We'll soon find out what's going on around here.
Well, this is pretty rough, filling in here every week for Hector.
If he is home, though, and he's got no excuse for coming down here, he's sure going to hear from
Certainly.
Me.
Well, he's probably got some bum excuse, as he always does.
With the money he's getting for this show, you'd think he'd be here once in a while.
And he pays us $1 a week. What is $1 a week?
$1 a week, is that all he gets?
For the both of us.
Oh.
That's what we get. What are you doing?
I haven't been getting...
What are you doing?
I'm dialing.
What is it?
Long distance.
Oh. I wonder what became of Victor.
No.
What's wrong?
Busy signal.
Play a record, Joe. Busy.
From the table up at Woodland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well, all the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooh-lee-oo, Scooby-Doo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooba-Bee-Doppin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. Dixieland music, they're condemned, but every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they yes. Ba-ba.
Good evening, friends of the Outer Sanctuary. This is your host, Porfirio, with another tale from the deep, dark, and unexplored annals of mystery. You're right. It's time for Portia Faces Portia, the story of a little girl from a mining town out west who has come to Carlsbad Caverns to find happiness with rich and handsome Lord Henry Burrell, who in reality is Superman on another network. This is the story that asks the question, Can a woman over 87 find happiness with a husband who in reality is Superman on another network? As our story opens this evening, we find Portia, as usual, facing Portia. She's looking into the mirror. Let's listen.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, please tell me, who's the fairest of them all?
Oh, no, my precious Portia, that I cannot reveal.
But why, oh mirror, am I not the fairest of them all?
Alas, precious Portia, you are not the fairest of them all.
Then pray tell, oh mirror, who is the fairest of them all? Please, I must know.
But I really shouldn't.
Well?
I cannot tell a lie. The fairest in the land is Superman.
Up, up, and away!
Shh.
Say, all you young men out there between the ages of 17 and 35, are you satisfied with your present job?
If you're not, then give a listen, because this is your golden opportunity to get into one of the fastest-growing enterprises in the United States today.
Yes, fellas, if you act quickly, without delay, you can become enrolled in the new Bank Robber School of America.
When you become a bank robber, you leave behind you all the monotony and boredom of that job in the office, factory, or department store. You enter into a new field with vast potentialities, which is not only profitable, but exciting as well.
When you become a bank robber, you have a chance to become famous. Your photograph in post offices all over the country. Your name on every police car radio. Your description and tales of your daring in all the newspapers. Your life story on gangbusters.
People will stop and stare at you when you walk down the street.
Men will be tense. Women will faint. Children will cringe in terror.
And why?
Because you're an honest-to-goodness bank robber.
You'll be rich. You'll be notorious. You'll be hunted.
What fun.
And here's the best part. You don't have to leave your home to become enrolled in the new learn-by-mail course of the Bank Robbers School of America.
All you do is drop a card to the Bank Robbers School saying that you wish to enter their learn-at-home class. By return mail, you will receive all your equipment plus the first of 8 easy lessons.
All this costs you absolutely nothing until after you've pulled your first job.
Then, if you are successful, you send us only 10% of your take.
And if you should happen to get caught, you pay us absolutely nothing.
That sounds fair enough, doesn't it?
Now, we mentioned that you would get some equipment along with your 8 easy lessons. Well, here's what that equipment consists of.
A bulletproof vest in case one of the guards should fire at you from a concealed place.
A gun and mask for armed robberies.
A list of 500 doctors in all parts of the country in case you are ever wounded making your getaway.
A black nondescript 1954 Ford coupe equipped with a 1954 Cadillac engine for the speediest getaway possible.
A shortwave radio installed in your getaway car so you can listen to police calls and find out if anyone is on your trail.
The names and addresses of 5 other members of the Bank Robbers School so you can get together and work in pairs if you prefer. Or in teams of 3, 4, 5, or 6.
A 10-acre farm in Brazil where you can retire after you've made your killing.
Remember, our country has no extradition treaty with Brazil.
Now, fellas, this may seem like a lot, but wait until you hear this.
Your equipment also includes a gray business suit, a pair of horn-rimmed glasses, and a walking cane in case you are interested in the safer and quieter form of bank robbing known as embezzling.
With this outfit, plus a dozen forged references that we send you, you can easily get a job at any bank in the country. In a year's time, you can embezzle perhaps $50,000 and then move to another bank and another location to go into business again.
After cutting the bank robber school in for 10%, of course.
And here's one more thing. You girls can get in on this, too. If you have a driver's license, you can send for our course on how to drive a getaway car.
Men, if you're married, be sure to have your wife enroll in this phase of the bank robber school learn-at-home course. That way, you'll never be troubled with backseat drivers while making your getaway.
Men, you can't afford to pass up this tremendous opportunity. Sing Sing and Alcatraz are full of men who didn't take the trouble to study before going into business.
Don't you make the same mistake. Enroll today in the Bank Robbers School of America Loan at Home course. Who knows, a year from now, you may be public enemy number one.
To enroll in this wonderful class, simply drop a card with your name and address to Bank Robbers School of America, care of Hair Trigger Harry or Banana Nose Simon, Fernando's Hideaway, Rocky Mountains, USA. Then sit tight until you'll hear from us.
This has been an unpaid criminal announcement.
Hey, Dan, where are you going?
Oh, I just remembered. I have to run an errand for my wife.
Well, Dan, you can't leave now. The program's only half over. Can't it wait until later?
I don't think so, Chuck. It's pretty important.
Well, what kind of an errand is it, anyway?
Well, she wanted me to pick up a copy of Time magazine.
And that's so important that you have to rush right off in the middle of our radio show?
Hector's show. Well, you see, it's this way, Chuck. The wife made a point of telling me not to lose the magazine on the way home in the subway.
So what?
So I haven't even bought the magazine yet.
Oh, I get it. You mean that...
Precisely. I've got no time to lose.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. The chestnut tree, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
Ladies and gentlemen, today it gives us great pleasure to bring you an exclusive interview with the foremost authority on inconsequentials, Dr. Hans Perisgaarder. Dr. Perisgaarder will speak today on one of the most controversial subjects of today, the American citizen versus the crackerjack. Dr. Perisgaarder?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. McVeigh, and hello to all you lovely people out there. Well, the subject which I am here to discuss is one of the utmost importance to everyone who eats crackerjack, and especially to those who play with the toys you find in each and every box. So what is the first question, Mr. McGuire?
The first question, Doctor, is what do you think of the boxes in which Cracker Jack is packed?
Well, I think they are all right because, you see, they are just the right size to put in your coat pocket in case you don't finish all the candy at once, you see. But I do feel that the manufacturer should put a little less wax on the wrappings because when you open the box, the wax is getting under your fingernails all the time, you see. And almost everybody in the nation is getting the wax under their fingernails. It's what you might call a wax in the nation.
I see. Well, Dr. Perisgaarder, don't you think this problem could be eliminated by putting a fingernail file inside of each box?
No.
Doctor, how do you feel about the price of the candy?
Oh, I don't mind the price at all, you see, because I get mine boxes by playing with the dip machine at the amusement park. My brother is a park employee there, you see, and he told me that if I kick the machine a little bit and
doctor,
hit it with the glass...
Doctor, yeah? Do you believe that the picture of the boy in the sailor suit, which is on each box, has a bad influence on the youngsters of today?
No. This picture will probably give them ideas of joining the Navy, which will help keep America free, and so the U.S. can continue to loan us money in Saarbrücken, Germany, where my brother Rudolph is living... on his unemployment checks.
Yes, but suppose all the young lads who eat Cracker Jack are influenced to join the Navy. Wouldn't that have a bad effect on the enrollment in the other armed forces?
Oh, no. You see, because in the post office, there are so many signs which advertise for the Army and for the Air Corps and for the Marines and so forth. So as long as the post office keeps selling those 3-cent stamps, other young men will come in and see the sign and join. Very simple, right?
Yes, I guess that's right.
Of course
well,
I'm right.
I'm glad you straightened us out on that. Next question. Do you think that perhaps the colonels are too large?
Well, some of them was during the last war, but now the army is making them take reducing exercises if they get overweight, so I don't think we need worry about that at all. What's the next question?
The next question, Doctor, is do you think that instead of toys inside the boxes, the manufacturer should supply the customers with something more educational?
Yeah, I agree that it would be a good idea, but it's also quite impractical. You know, they tried putting television sets in there one time, and they just wouldn't fit, even the 3-inch screens. And as for putting a school teacher in each box, well, I don't think that you would find many teachers who would be willing to work for peanuts, you know.
Well, what about putting coupons on the box tops and using them toward free premiums or gifts? That's in place of the toys, naturally.
What? Take out and see the toys from each box? That would never work. You see, the manufacturer is now millions on millions of boxes ahead in production, and he would never have time to go to the warehouse and open all those boxes and take out the toys. So you see, that idea is strictly, so you'd better get it out of your head right this minute.
Yes, well, Doctor, I see our time is just about up, so before we close, do you have anything to add?
Oh, yeah, 7 and 9.
Thank you. You've been listening to a discussion of the American Citizen versus the Cracker Jack, featuring Dr. Hans Periskar. Thank you, Dr. Periskar. It's been nice to have
you.
You're
welcome. And your host is... The Cracker Jack people is very wonderful to me.
I'm trying to close the program.
Well, they've been sending me all the Cracker Jacks.
This interview has been very interesting. Your host has been Dan McGuire, and this is Dan McGuire returning you to our regularly scheduled program, Joe, play a record.
I was just fine.
This is your friendly homemaker with news for and about your friendly home. My name is I'm a Friendly, and I am, too. Well, ladies, today we're going to discuss the possibilities of fried harpsichord for your dinner table this evening. Now, I'm sure you've heard of broiled, boiled, stewed, or even roasted harpsichord, but not until now have we developed a recipe for fried harpsichord. So listen carefully, ladies, because you're not going to want to miss a moment of this thrilling recipe. Now, our kitchen assistant, Dan McGuire, will repeat the recipe as I read the ingredients. Dan?
Thanks.
Well, now, ladies, here's the recipe. Ready?
Ready.
Ingredients.
Ingredients.
One harpsichord.
One harpsichord.
One frying pan.
One frying pan.
Directions.
Directions.
Fry.
Fry.
Well, that's the Hector Q. Peabody show for today without Hector again. Dan, listen, will you call Hector once again with
the line? All right, I'll try it.
It was busy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fine.
Hello? Oh, Mrs. Peabody, this is Dan McGuire at the station. I'd like to know if your husband is at home. Oh, he isn't. Yes, I see. Uh-huh. Oh, all right. I'll tell Chuck. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Well, what's the deal?
Well, it seems Hector went hunting up in the North Woods and he was treed by a bear. The posse is trying to get the bear away so they can bring him down, and he may be back next week.
Well, let's hope so.
I do.
Boy, this is Chuck Shade.
And Dan McGuire.
Signing off the fifth Hector Q. Peabody show without Hector once again, mentioning that Joe Abrascato was running the controls. Our wardrobe was by Frankenstein.
And sounds by Marconi.
This has been a CLS production.
Hector, I hope you can bear it.